This is Pete. I move to accept.
I second.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Pete. Any comments or additions to the minutes? Or amendments or edits? Hearing none, then we'll call for a vote. All those in favor of the passing the minutes, please say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? Okay, thank you very much for the regular meeting minutes. And now on to my remarks. We have several issues here that are related in this today's business that are related to the general pay plan. And so we've been coping with Typhoon Mawar, a real typhoon. And in some ways we've been thinking of the of this 22% raise issue as a legislative typhoon that's caused incredible difficulties throughout the university, and I gather in other agencies of government. It's a very difficult mess. In some ways, RCOG is in a better situation than most, so it's not quite as controversial. But just so you know, that it's caused, you know, and just really difficult morale issues. It's full of things that are just as unhelpful as possible. So we're coping with that. And my hat's off to Anthony Camacho, our general counsel of the university, for trying to figure that out. But anyway, so we'll be talking about that in today's work. And of course, Kathleen's report will cover all the great work of the research enterprise at the university, which has persisted through the difficulties of the typhoon in a way that's similar to the very successful way that the research enterprise carried on through the pandemic and the lockdowns and all that. So that's really great. And thanks to Kathleen and also to Rachel Leon Guerrero and their teams for making all of that possible. My successor will be decided as president of UOG, will be decided, and also chair of RCOG board, will be decided next Thursday. There's a special meeting of the Board of Regents. It was all delayed because of the storm, and so that'll be decided next week. And then after the new president is announced, I'll be working closely with her to coordinate, you know, decisions and things going forward, so we can overlap as well as possible. And I think that covers all of the things that I wanted to talk about. So I think we can move on, unless someone has questions for me. We could move on to new business. Any questions for me? So then moving on to new business, if we could have the executive director's report to the board, please, Kathleen.
All right, I'm going to stop sharing that for a minute, and then here we go. I'm going to share this. And there we go. All right, here is the report. And I'm happy to report that in terms of total expenditures, if you measure from the end of May 2023 to the prior year, we actually have a 21% increase. And these are all of our key performance indicators that we report on in our annual report at the end of the year. The indirect costs have increased 42% year over year, measuring May to May. End of May 31st. So we are at 1.76 versus about 1.2 last year. And then for operations revenue and expenses, revenue has increased 85% over the last year, over the prior year. And our operations for our core team expenditures increased only 1% in that same time frame. And I know over the years I've reported that we have really kept expenditures down basically for the life of RCOG, which is 9 years. And so we do believe that we can project with a high degree of confidence that we can meet our obligation of pushing forward $250,000 to support the construction of the Wary Building and Nursing Annex again this year.
Great.
We have at the moment, and this changes daily, but this is a snapshot from last week, about 233 employees. Of those, 134 are full-time and 99 part-time. That includes some student hires as well, which were over about over 30 students who are employed at the moment. And we are supporting 160 different projects. Annual budgets are at $32.9 million, which is, of course, the highest that we've ever seen at the Research Corporation. And I do believe the University of Guam, if everything is factored in, because you know there are projects that are supported by the business office. There's quite a few, including Cedars is over at the business office. And multi-year budgets is at $83.5 million. So this includes all of the multi-year budgets. Some are 3 years, some are 2 years, some are 5 years. And so, but I think, you know, a better gauge of where we are is annual budgets and expenditures. So this is what is budgeted. And then you can go and look at the expenditures and see, well, how well did we do at spending the money? Because, you know, it's one thing to get federal money and another thing to spend it. As far as the typhoon goes, House 24, we didn't get any water inside. We had zero damage and zero flooding. Power was restored after 13 days and water after 14 days during the storm. And through great effort by the RCOG team, you know, payroll was submitted that was actually right before the storm hit. And then we are doing our next payroll now. And the team has been really positive and have really good attitudes. And we've hauled our own non-potable water to flush our toilet so that we could be here working. And then we worked for several days in the School of Business and Public Administration when we didn't have power. So kudos to the team for being having positive attitudes in the face of a lot of different challenges. And two, still do not have power, Michael Connor and Precious. And so we're having the biggest losers contest to see who is the last person to get hooked up. So we're going to think of some good prize for that.
That's good.
That's not a competition you really want to win, but you know, you'll get a prize at the end. And so as authorized by the board, we did invest in two short-term CDs. And so we have a $200,000 invested at the Bank of Guam at about 4.4 interest because they do have fees. And then $200,000 at Coast 360 at 4.3. And so one matures next year in April and the other one in May. And I think that's all we're going to do at this point in time. And as far as the EDA projects go, the bid was posted on May 18th. Boy, we finally got there. And that was really a lot of teamwork with Glenn Leon Guerrero, with Zenon Bellinger, with Sandra, who did all the paperwork and the ads. And then because of the storm, we postponed the pre-bid conference to next week, Friday. And so we had about 11 firms pick up the bid packet. So that's all positive. You know, the storm kind of pushed us forward a couple of weeks, but we are still on track. One of the more exciting things really that is happening, and we had two good meetings this week on technology transfer, because we do have two scientists down at the Marine Lab who believe that they may have created something novel that perhaps can be patented and has a commercial use. Of course, that still, it has to be assessed. You know, is it worth an investment? So we had two meetings this week. Dr. Rachel Leon Guerrero and I met with a consulting company called Tremonti. And this was through a person that I have known for ever since 2014, going to these University Connected Research Council meetings And this is a gal named Vinci, who just retired from Clemson, and she has done a lot of work in this area. And also another meeting this morning with the SUNY Research Foundation. And you know, they have about $1 billion in research, so they're very knowledgeable. And we had a good conversation with them, and they might be willing to say, for example, be members of an advisory committee to advise us on how to move forward, because this is a new area for Guam, not just the University of Guam. I mean, nobody knows how to do this here. And so it's very exciting. You know, we're going to move forward. We'll probably have to go out for at least 3 quotes, or maybe we'll do an RFP. And Dr. Rachel is thinking that perhaps, you know, the way that they look at these things, if you've got one novel creation to declare, that's one thing, but there might be others. And so if we engage with either SUNY or Tamahu or somebody else, that there might be, and this was Dr. Rachel's idea, you know, we might have 1 to 3 creations that could possibly be turned into something else, something of commercial value. So, you know, we have to do a lot of work in this area. You know, we have copyrights and something that we call IP, but it really is about what's in your teaching in your class. This is all new. So more to come on that. And so we'll move slowly but quickly on that to see what we can do. And, you know, we just want to note that the 2 students are with John Limtiaco, Dr. Limtiaco, at the Pacific Northwest National Lab, and they arrived there on June 2nd. And so they have started their 10-week internship, and Dr. Limtiaco, and they're basically studying all kinds of different experiments. Remember, this is all about extracting hydrogen from seawater for renewable energy. So you could have something like hydrogen that could power the grid when other sources are not available. And so that's exciting. And then we also had 1 travel award to Jocelyn Garcia, and she headed off to a program, a 4-week program at the University of Texas Health Science Center. She's a biomed major. Thanks to Kate Moots and for her letter of recommendation. And Precious, thank you, Precious, booked her ticket on June 5th when there's still no power, there's no water, and, you know, finding a way to help the students get to where they need to go. And let's see. And lastly, I want to thank Danica, who helped out and with food distribution. So she's our accounting analyst too. So thanks, Danica. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Kathleen. Questions or comments for Kathleen? I see your hand up, Brian, maybe? No.
No. I was clapping.
Just clapping. That's good. Yes, clapping is good. That's great news on all of that, even down to being able to work through the travel arrangements immediately after the storm. So that's great that all that was possible. Thank you to Precious for that. Let's see. Amazing increase in the expenditures all the way through. And I think as the board knows, and but just to emphasize that, as Kathleen said, it's one thing to get the grant, it's another thing to spend it properly and well. And so so that's one of the measures of success. So I think it's really been a tremendous run, and congratulations to Kathleen for making all of that with her team possible. Okay, so no other questions or comments for Kathleen. We can move on then to action 4.2, resolution number 23-05, relative to adopting the Government of Guam General Pay Plan for 2023. Could I have someone make a motion to move that action?
This is Pete, so moved.
Thank you, Pete. Second, please.
Second.
Oh, thank you. Ms. Ryan, okay, thank you.
Who was that? Can I ask who was the second?
I think it was Ryan.
Right. Okay, great.
Okay, so Kathleen, would you please narrate this one?
Okay, so as you know, there's been a lot of discussion about the 2023 pay plan, and the public law 37-3 was enacted on March 31st, and that adjusted the Government of Guam general pay plan by 22%. The Board of Regents adopted the same plan on June 6th for classified staff and eligible employees per public law 37-3. And eligible employees are federally funded employees. And so it is RCOG's wish to align with the University of Guam's pay scale for consistency. And so we can recruit, retain, and compensate qualified personnel to fill grant-funded positions for those projects managed by RCOG. And since it is allowed in the public law for those employees who are federally funded to receive this increase, that RCOG employees are eligible based on availability of funding. And so what that means is, and this is the most people we've ever had at a meeting in 9 years, so you can see that this is a very important resolution. And so really what that means is that we want to adopt this scale, and we want to make the a change effective on Monday, the 19th. Now, the caveat is that not every single grant has the funding to support these raises. So we are going to have to go project by project. It's going to be a little messy. It's going to be a little muddy. For example, Bob Barber called me earlier this week, and he said, Kathleen, I don't have the funding in this grant. And I said, okay, you need to write me a memo to state that your employees will not receive the increase, but when the new budget cycle comes in or the new grant cycle comes in, then that will be aligned with the new pay scale. So it is going to take us, I want to say, at the far end, 2 years for everybody to be on the same pay scale. And, you know, for the bulk of people, it will be a little quicker, but for some grants, they're, you know, the budgets are tight. There isn't room to allow all of the employees to get the increase. So, I mean, you know, so that's the nitty gritty for this resolution. But we are saying a couple of other things that we hope that the board passes here, and that is, we want to make sure that every person on the same funding source, you get the same adjustment, whether that is nothing at the moment or 22%. So there's no picking and choosing among employees within the same grant project. So that means that, you know, everyone on that same funding source is treated equitably, and that all new hires then coming aboard will be on the new pay plan. We really tried to look at multiple ways that we could approach this, and it really comes down to grants can either support this increase now, or they won't be able to support it now, but they will in the future when new funding becomes available. And I think that's all I have to say about this resolution. Any questions?
Could I just add that just for people outside the university to understand that we have at least five different classes of employees. And this law allows for the classified employees to have the raise, and also federally funded. And it has to be 100% federally funded employees may also access this. But this leaves out all sorts of other employees who are not in one of those two categories. And so we have a number of instances where two people are doing the same job, but in a different category. One of them's getting a 22% raise and the other one is not. So you can imagine what that does to morale. And of course, faculty are not included under this. Administrators are not included under this. Our professional technical employees are not included under this. So you can see how that's all sort of complicated. And then, as Kathleen points out, having this managed differently because of the different grant grants that people are funded on, you can see the sort of general confusion and unhappiness that this causes, just so you're aware of that. So other questions for Kathleen?
If I can just add too, I also had a very long conversation with Carlos Titano, and he just doesn't have a grant really right now at RCOG, but you know, his push was everybody should be given the raise at the same time, and it should be October 1st. And I would like to point out that that is impossible at the Research Corporation, because all of these grants have different start dates at different times of the year. We will never be able to do 100% and get everybody on this 22% increase at the same time on the same day, because not all of these grants have funding. And remember, this is all soft money. And so some of these jobs are short term. Some people have been with the Research Corporation for quite a number of years, a couple of people on this call, Phil comes to mind. And so, but other people come and go. So, and depending on the different projects, some people move from one to another, or the funding keeps coming in to a particular project. So it all depends. So although I think that's, you know, it's a worthwhile argument from Carlos that the logic doesn't play through when you're talking about the Research Corporation, because we will never be able to, because we don't have any funding from the general fund, right? It is all grants. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kathleen. Other questions for Kathleen or comments? Yes, please, Ricky.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Mr. Chair, and Kathleen, thanks for the presentation. I just had a couple of questions. Because of the enactment for the entire government, that seems like the policy for the government, and so I'm in support of it. I just wanted to ask, in terms of the public law that's cited in the resolution, mm-hmm. does that require us to do it, or does that give us discretion to implement this for our employees?
Well, I am looking at it now, but we'll let Anthony Camacho weigh in on that one.
Yeah, this would be discretionary. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because what the law does is even as it applied to UOG, it was discretionary as to whether UOG would take the funds from the legislature, because that did come with a 2-year limitation on us from increasing tuition. So there were conditions for UOG. So hence, if UOG didn't take the money and give the raises, they wouldn't suffer from that tuition bar. We weren't planning on raising tuition in that period of time anyway. So, but here, same thing. As these are federally funded positions, it would be discretionary as to whether or not we would have to do it. So as Kathleen pointed out, it is all based on whether or not there's enough federal grant funding to cover the raises. So because it's discretionary, if your federal grant fund does not cover the raise, you don't get one. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, great.
And accountants have to certify, right? So the accountants have to certify that the money is there. And so that is really where the buck stops. And we will be working with various PIs. It's going to take us a couple of pay periods to roll through this if the board passes it. And we'll be taking a look at individual budgets, but it will take effect on Monday if the board passes it.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for that. I appreciate that, Anthony. And that's good news, because if it was required, then it would be much more difficult to implement it staggered based on each grant. So if it's our discretion and it's written clearly in the resolution, then I think it obviously shouldn't be a problem from a implementation standpoint. And there hopefully no rights that any employees think they may have in terms of getting it later on versus earlier, but I'm in agreement in terms of just, you know, doing it as quickly as possible as each grant allows for. The only other question I had was with regards to the number. Do we have a number of how many of the employees we have that will be immediately impacted starting Monday, or is that still a work in progress?
That's still a work in progress. I think a majority of projects do have the funding, but some don't. And so we're just going to have to work through that in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. And then just, sorry, one last one. And I understand this because I think it was, I asked it last time, but the current RCOG pay scale is the general pay plan, right? Is that correct?
Correct. So when we started in 2014, we adopted the University of Guam's, which was the government of Guam's general pay plan.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm in support of the resolution as well. Just wanted to get some questions out. Thanks.
Thank you, Ricky. Yeah. So this is just to clarify that we pegged the RCOG staff pay plan to the UOG pay plan, which itself is pegged to the classified pay plan. So this is just bringing our RCOG employees' pay scale to keep it in line with where it has been, and then coping with implementing it is sort of a special wrinkle of the grant funded nature of most of our employees. So that's it. Other questions or comments? Abby, did you have something? No? Okay. So then I'll call for a vote on resolution 23-05. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? And it passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Now moving on to 4.3, resolution 23-06, relative to amending the RCOG position titles and wage grades and student position titles and wage grades. May I have a motion to approve this resolution? Great enthusiasm there. Brian is moving to make the motion. And a second, please.
Second.
Thank you. From Anita, thank you. Now, Kathleen, would you please narrate this one?
Yes, and so now that the board has adopted the pay plan for 2023, we are then needing to update our position titles and wage grades, and our student position titles and wage grades. And so this allows us to do that. Take a look, these are the same positions that have been approved by the board. And so now you're going to see them pegged at the new rate. So for example, let's say now J1, which has been $14.94, and I congratulated myself back in 2014, paying a college graduate with experience $14.94. And so now that really, you know, it needs to be adjusted. So this is why I'm in favor of this. So now that rate will be $18.23. And so that's the same rate for a research associate one, an extension associate one, and I think that's what is there, sustainability coordinator. So these are the positions. They are all now aligned with the new grade coming through here. And then the same with the student positions. We have extension aid. These are undergraduate positions. And then we have graduate positions. So you would have a graduate student who already has a degree, is pegged at the same grade and rate as a brand new person who has graduated with an undergraduate degree. So basically now we're just taking our positions and we are modifying the grade and the step one to match and align with the new 2023 pay plan.
Great, thank you, Kathleen. Questions or comments for Kathleen or on this matter? Hearing none, then moving on to the vote. All those in favor of this resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? And then the resolution passes unanimously. Thank you very much. And now moving on to the next resolution. Sorry.
Here we go. Sharing. There we go.
Okay, thank you. This is resolution number 23-07 relative to amending the administrator salary scale and list of administrator positions. So may I have a motion to approve this resolution?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Ryan. And a second, please.
A second.
Thank you, Rachel. A second. And now, Kathleen, would you please narrate this one?
Okay, so what we wanted to do for this position, it's also the administrator scale has not been adjusted for 9 years, since 2014 as well. I worked closely with Joe Gumatautau on this. Let's go down here. We can take a look at it. And we're adding, there are only two positions currently that are filled and that have ever been filled on this scale. And that is myself and Michael Connor is the chief business officer. And so we want to add four additional positions to the administrator scale. And one is the associate director.
Power outage.
Okay, we're still here. And we planned for this contingency. So the associate
Yeah. Oh, okay. We're still here, but now I'm Gloria. Where are you, Gloria?
Right there.
Okay, yeah. So now I'm Gloria. And so we want to take those positions and put them on the administrator scale to actually categorize them where they should be, because they are administrative positions. And so I think this just points to the maturity of the Research Corporation and basically grants and how they have grown and the number of people that we have on all of these projects. And so that would probably properly categorize them. And I worked very closely, as I mentioned, with Joe Gumatautau on the quartiles and making sure that the quartiles are aligned with UOG quartiles. And he even went back to for the chief business officer and for the executive director to the original calculations Larry Gamboa made and the positions that he used for Coupa, and then taking those to, I believe it was the 2008-2009 scale, and then creating this scale. So I don't know that I can share because I don't have this on your computer. So I can't share any longer, but that's the gist of it.
Kathleen, sorry, I think we may have also lost our chairman.
Oh, we lost our chairman. Do we still have a quorum? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do we have Rachel still on here? Okay.
You just got on.
This seems to be a daily thing now.
Welcome back, as many people have come back or didn't leave at all. Sorry for that, for power outage. Continuing pains. Let's see, I think we were just about to get Tony's.
Sorry, we're coming back on. The power just went back on here.
Yeah, right, same. We'll wait a little bit longer. Sorry about that.
All right. Thank you, everybody. And so, you know, we had a contingency plan for this. We had MiFi set up on the around the office, but then that kicked us off too. I want to see if we still have a quorum. Let's see. Do we still have Ricky there?
Yeah.
Randy's there. Ryan. 1, 2, 3, 4. Rachel LG. 5, 6. I think we do. Yep. They're still on. Anita's there. Okay. Okay.
I think we were.
Are there any questions about the administrator pay scale and adding the 4 new positions?
We already have folks in those positions already, or looking to fill those positions?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. For one, we are going to have to open a position and search for it because it's a different title. But the other 3 individuals are already there. And one of the reasons I wanted to move them over to the administrator scale is because they are, higher paid individuals. And so by moving them to the administrator scale, they will get an increase, but it will not be 22%. So, for example, one of them with natural resources, that's Dr. Elsa Demilinare. She brings in millions of dollars of her own funding, and she funds all of her own team. And so she's responsible for her salary and the salary of all those folks underneath her. Then Janet is at EBSCOR. She is not the PI, obviously, of that grant, but she manages it and people, and that's $4 million a year. So they really are administrative positions, and they really do need to be on the scale.
Thank you, Kathleen. Other questions or comments on this one?
Yeah, just have one, Kathleen, or maybe it might lead to another, but I'm just wondering, what is the average increase that those in those filled positions may experience?
In those positions, we will have one of them will be in quartile one, and the other three will be in quartile three. And hold on, and let me run to my desk and I can tell you. About 10%. The average will be about 10%.
And they're currently on the general pay plan?
They're currently on the existing, okay. Existing pay plan.
So are we shifting them over to the 22% and then moving them over, or are we?
Oh, no. Moving them over? No, we're shifting them over to the administrator scale because that's really where they belong, number one. And number two is, so you're not having that giant increase on top of folks who already make a significant amount of money.
Okay. And just one last one. And I think it's, I know that you mentioned that the only two that are on this scale is your position and the chief business officer. And so I'm wondering, do we have a definition for what should be an administrator? And is that something maybe in the next meeting we could talk about, you just determining that to be on the administrator pay scale? Or do we have to do this every time?
We would have to come to the board every time we wanted to add a position to the scale, for sure. And so this is the first time in 14 years that we've added positions, but you will see attached that there are position descriptions for each of them, and the job duties and you know what it is they do and who they oversee. And so, and they're responsible for. So each of those position descriptions were developed in consultation with the Chief Human Resource Officer, Joe Gumitautau at UOG, and with the unit heads of these various units, and with the individuals themselves, also had a chance to look at it. So.
Could I interrupt really just to say, could you, Kathleen, could you admit Tony Camacho? He's waiting in the waiting room.
Call. Here he is. Got him. Yep.
There he is.
Okay. Sure. And so I would say, Dr. Hernandez, that it really is. Do they oversee a significant number of people? Do they oversee a significant number of dollars? And are they responsible for implementing the content and plans of those grants? And are they responsible for attracting new dollars, for writing grants and submitting them and obtaining them, so they have new dollars coming into their units? And so I think for two of them, and soon it will be three, because the communications position, according to Austin, he will have that position begin to write.
Oops. We lost Kathleen now, so.
Switch over here.
Oh, there she's.
This has got to be the weirdest RCO meeting ever. Okay, we're still here. So that's. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I'm in support of it. I just wanted to see if there was an easier way for you to just determine who's an administrator, and instead of having to come back to add to every new grant that might come up with a new administrator, and then we'd have to add them to it. So I was just trying to see if there was an easier way for you administratively to just determine a definition of what constitutes an administrator, and then just if they fall within that, then you can add it. But I'm in support of the resolution. I just wanted to see if there was an easier way moving forward.
I think a grant has to be very large. So you're talking millions of dollars before we would come to this where we are. Okay, did I stop repeating myself? Yeah, okay. So before we would come to this juncture, right? Which is why we actually need an administrator for this program. So I'm okay coming back to the board, or the next executive director would be able to come to the board if there are new administrative positions added. I think that's okay. And I think that's something under the board's purview, so you can ask these questions. Mm-hmm. And not just anyone is an administrator, that it has to be a significant amount of funding. They have to oversee a significant number of people and bring in dollars to their organizations.
And maybe okay. At a later time, it makes sense once this becomes more routine and we have more sort of examples, it would become maybe something that is more automated in a way. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Other questions?
Thank you,
Ricky. Other questions or comments on this resolution? Hearing none, then I'll ask for a vote. All those in favor of the resolution, please indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay.
Aye.
Thank you for that extra aye. Thank you. And
yes, that's me. I'm at the airport. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. I think there are no nays. And then any abstentions? Thank you very much. Then that one also passes unanimously. Okay, now I will entertain a motion to move into executive session to discuss executive director's performance evaluation. Someone like to move that we move into executive session?
So move, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ricky.
I second.
Thank you, Pete. All in favor of moving into executive session, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Okay, so now
right,
we execute the movement into an extra room, I think is the process. Yeah.
So Sable, what we're planned to do is make you host, right? And then everybody else will log off, including me. Does that sound good?
We'll also keep Anthony Camacho.
Okay.
So all the board members and the general counsel then will be in that meeting. Please.
Okay, so Janelle, please log off. And then Sable, did you make him? Okay, Dr. Christ, your host.
Okay.
And so we are going to everybody else. Jessica, can you log off, please? Okay, Jessica. Anthony, you're logging off. Yeah. And this one, I'm going to log off on this one. Okay. All right. We're logging off. Here you go. Why can we still see them? Yeah. So log off here. Yeah.
There we are. I think we are now set in executive session. And so this is to discuss the executive director's performance evaluation, which was quite thorough and detailed and also tremendously positive. Tony, did you want to give us some background on what's possible with her position? And we were proposing to do some things that I think are we haven't quite sorted out the law at the moment. So
Yeah, sorry about that. I essentially have been working so hard on not just the classified employee, unclassified employees for RCOG, but trying to get the raises for the unclassified employees for the rest of UOG again, and see who we could get raises for federally funded ones. But I think that if you are going to give Kathleen a raise generally, okay, it would either be through, haven't quite reviewed this in depth, either through an increment, okay, or through a an amendment to her contract. I want to say that off the top of my head, she's got a contract with the university or RCOG, I believe so. Is that how she was hired? And if that's true, then if you wanted to give a raise, it would just simply be to amend the contract to the higher amount. Unfortunately, because she is a an unclassified employee, if you were to give her a raise, you could not give her one, or it could not be effective until the until fiscal year 2024. Because one of the things that Public Law 37-3 did, it bars raises for unclassified employees for the rest of this fiscal year. She is not, unlike the majority of RCU UOG employees, she's not 100% federally funded. So that bar would apply to her, because under RCUOG's Enabling Act, all the employees of RCOG are unclassified public employees. Thank you.
So, and the fiscal year, of course, starts on October 1st, would be the earliest we could do this. So a couple of options. We can certainly talk about her performance and anything that you'd like to raise or anything that you'd like me to convey to her. We can do that sort of thing. But just if we decide that we would like to renew her contract and to provide her with a raise, and my thought was at least to have it in line with the whole of RCOG, so that sort of.
I also forgot to mention that. So if you're talking about increasing her salary, when you start, we're just talking procedurally here. You were to go in that direction, but when you actually start talking about the salary, you cannot do that in executive session. Okay, you'd have to do that. Believe it or not, in open session. Okay. So we don't want to make the same mistake that the CCU made a few years ago. So we're not talking numbers here at all. We're just talking procedurally. How you would do it. So you can't really discuss numbers, actual salary figures, potential salary figures. That would have to be an open session. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So on performance, I'm happy to have a conversation about how to do the, how you would like me to convey to her your feelings about her performance or any specific comments, and then we can talk about how to go about doing this. So it was sort of a hope that we'd be able to do a new contract, and then that would be effective on the 1st of October with whatever sort of adjustment to salary that we could talk about. I think we'll have to table all of that in order to do that. One other option that could be possible, and Tony might think about this a minute, is for the board to authorize the chair to renew the contract at whatever we determine to be an appropriate level. If that's, I'll let you sit and think about that while we talk about performance. So sorry, this is real-time legal thinking. So yeah. So comments for all of us on Kathleen's performance.
In fact, just in terms of describing her performance, she is an exemplar. There's no doubt. High productivity, extremely effective, efficient. I mean, she's the benchmark. We do know that she may be retiring for good, possibly in a couple of years. And, to try to find someone, to clone Kathleen, I mean, it's going to be very interesting. But I think in terms of describing her performance, I'd like to say that she has been nothing short of exemplary in terms of just, how very well managed RCUOG is. Going back to Tony's comment about unclassified, Tony, we have Ricky representing the airport. I don't know how that's treated with regard to any ban on any kind of raise, or is it raise or increment till the start of the new fiscal year? If that
increments
applies,
increments are separate, I think.
The increments are separate from raises. Yeah. Yeah, I thought they were quite the same thing at EOG. but yeah, I mean, if she's on a contract and the contract is either renewable or it expires and there's a start date on a new contract, there's nothing to prohibit the board from, recommending or authorizing the chair to offer, a much higher annual salary with a new contract. That's all I wanted to say at this time. Thank you.
Okay, but now when we're talking about salaries, here, let me just quote from the open government law. Okay, so like I said, this should, we're just talking about procedure, how, okay, but it just says here that under no circumstances shall a public agency hold an executive or closed meeting to discuss salary levels, or salary adjustments of any employee or officer. And all those discussions or decisions have to be held in a public meeting. Okay, so we actually start, talking about numbers, so on and so forth, or whether or not you feel she deserves a salary adjustment. All that has to be in a public setting. Thank you.
So that we will have time anyway before. So the next meeting is in September, and so that'll fall before the new fiscal year. So procedurally, we'll be able to deal with this at that time. So we can convey. Thank you, Anita, for the comments about her performance. I think RCOG is one of the real jewels in our UOG crown. Amazing work over a relatively short time. Other comments that you'd like me to convey to Kathleen?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to also say and add to Dr. Enriquez mentioning of Kathleen, because having started on the board almost 9 years ago, she was obviously the selected executive director. She had the experience, she had the education, she was quite the perfect fit. And it's 9 years later, and it seems that what we did 9 years ago was the perfect choice. And I think in terms of her commitment to the RCOG, how much it's grown, her ability to, ensure that there is some succession planning with the some key members of her team having gone. She throughout that time period, she was able to and get some pretty creative policy, because RCOG was an interesting entity of the government of Guam, or not so much of the government of Guam. So I think in terms of her performance, it goes without saying it's been exemplary, like Dr. Enriquez mentioned. And so I think I'm in support of her continuation. I'm in support of whatever we can provide to her to keep her as long as she can stay with the RCOG. I just wanted to add that. I know this is not in discussion with regards to her salary. I just had a question, because I know that RCOG is a bit of a unique entity. And I wasn't sure if we follow open government law, that we do the 5-day notice and the 48-hour notice. And if we don't, because I know we don't follow specifically, we're exempt from procurement and we're exempt from the personnel rules and regs of the government. And I wasn't sure if we were also exempt from OGL and that we just try to follow it as much as possible. And so I just wanted to know if that was something that we're bound to.
Yeah, Tony, the open government law is not one of the laws that the RCOG Enabling Act is exempted from. Okay, so it's a bit of a gray area. Okay, and I think that in the past it's they are following it. I know that before this meeting, we did confirm notices. Both the 5-day notice and then the 48-hour notice, and we made sure that they were published, and they're also broadcast on KPRG. So we are following that practice. The notice, of course, it was confirmed, had the agenda. So we have been following the open government law. That's actually been the practice since before, I believe, I came on board as general counsel. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah. And I just had a question as it relates to, and this is not talking about any salary increase, but because it was mentioned, I know that Public Law 37-3, it specifically talks about unclassified positions covered by this act. And in our previous discussion, I know that the employees, that we had discretion as it related to doing the general pay plan increase. And if the position of, if the administrator positions, one of which would be the executive director of RCOG, is not actually covered by the act, then we might have some leeway in terms of how that's, yeah. So I don't know if that was.
That's been a $1 million question here. Okay, so, UOG is actually mentioned in that public law. Okay, so UOG, I believe, did accept an appropriation under that law. So yes, that would also affect the unclassified employees of UOG. And that would include our subcorp RCOG. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Great, thank you, Ricky. Other comments or things you'd like me to convey to Kathleen regarding her performance?
So, Chair, I'm also in agreement with Dr. Rubica's statements on her performance. It's also very reflective too on the KPIs that she shares with the board and gets reported in the annual reports. And it's always this upward trend while all the costs seem to be a very low percentage. So that's kind of what we like to see too, is, you know, where are the results? And it's very evident in those KPIs that she tracks. It's very helpful. So I did have a couple of questions. So if procedurally, if we were going to offer her a new contract, would she fall in this new administrative pay scale? How would it fit within here? Would she land in any of these particular quartiles, or how would that happen?
So I think she would be treated the way the vice presidents and I are treated, where we're in a, there's a separate contract and the salary is negotiated, I think is how that works.
Okay.
So it doesn't actually fit on a scale. So, right.
Thanks. So would this be for somebody that's brand new, for example, they would immediately start at quartile number one?
So they wouldn't be on a scale. It would just be, it's a negotiated position. Although in coming up with the bands and so on, or the ranges, it's benchmarked against equivalent kinds of positions. So just as the vice presidents and the presidents are somewhat, I mean, that people pay attention to markets and so on, you know, how things are across the industry, you might say, so.
Okay.
And so it would depend on the, in terms of where the a new one would fall would be part of that kind of negotiation, so. So it's more that for the sake of contracted salaries, it's the bands and so on are sort of arguments to make. It's, it indicates a range and so on, but it's negotiable. So not too far off, I suppose, from when we have to do hard to hire positions and go higher on a scale. So a little bit like that. Other comments or questions? Everyone is in, yes, please, Rachel.
I would just like to make a comment. I really agree with Dr. Anita's comments about Kathleen. I work really closely with her, and she, not only is she, I mean, she's somebody that I really admire, and I try to, she's a real role model for me, and she's always She's just very, very supportive, and just, you know, she's just willing to jump in anywhere and help in anything. So she really sets a very, very high bar. So.
So we can never let her retire.
Right.
She needs to build capacity, you know, yeah. She really does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she can't retire till she cultivates her twin or her.
She needs to clone herself. Yeah.
Her clone. That's right.
Just another comment I'd like to make also is because of the success of the corporation, it's the benefits have kind of overflowed to now she's supporting, you know, construction of new facilities that are coming up. And so, I definitely want to make sure we highlight that, you know, it's all part of her thinking outside the box and thinking creatively to figure out how we could, you know, utilize funding to, you know, improve the university, improve our offerings. So I definitely want to make sure we highlight that as well.
Great. Thank you. Yes, I agree that the whole getting the EDA funding and managing all of those details is really above and beyond the job description for sure. Certainly serving the capacity, expansion of our capacity to do research in obviously in Weary and in nursing, but that really is a remarkable example of her ability to go way beyond her job description. So, okay, I'll certainly convey.
I'll try again.
Watch is talking to me. I'll convey our violent agreement with all of this great commentary on her, and then we'll work on the contract and so on. I think we can manage that by get it all ready for the September board meeting and make that happen. So, okay. Thank you very much. Then I will, unless somebody has something else you'd like to talk about in executive session. Thank you all for serving on the board. This is a really important and obviously very successful institution, piece of UOG. I think this is doing great things for Guam and the region. And part of our challenge is helping people to understand that value, understand the value to the economy, to our ability to retain, bring back talented people to help solve all kinds of problems that we have. I think this has been really remarkable, and it's so great to have this very distinguished board to help guide it along. Thank you for letting me serve as the chair for these 5 years. It's been a great pleasure working with you, and I'll look forward to monitoring future successes and watching Kathleen clone herself. So, yeah.
Mr. Chair, just a point of order, you would have to obtain a motion to leave the executive session, and then they'd have to vote on that to go back into the public session, and then
okay.
We could do the adjournment. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Do I have a motion? Unless there's something else, is there a motion for leaving executive session?
So move.
Thank you, Anita. Second.
Second.
Thank you, Ricky. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, please say nay. Abstentions. And now I will text her to go back. And then maybe that will just happen. Thank you. That's assuming she's looking at her phone. Oh, there she is.
Are we all here?
There, we're back now. Thank you. And we can invite any others back as they would like. So.
See, she's cloned herself already.
Yes, look at that. Amazing. Amazing.
That was the most bizarre meeting, but I was so afraid it was going to happen. You know, the power kept going out. every day this week for a couple of hours. So we tried these MiFis and they worked for a bit, but some cowboy days here.
Yes, it's interesting times. So thank you, Kathleen, for the really great performance review. We were all in violent agreement with your extraordinary performance all the way through, and how you've really met the hope and promise of 9 years ago. So thank you very much. It's you've done amazing things. Lots of great comments, including how much all of us admire you and think of you as a role model. How supportive and inexhaustible you are. So indefatigable, inexhaustible. We decided that you can't possibly retire until you clone yourself. So that's the highest priority thing for you to accomplish in whatever time left. And I think we will work on the contract arrangement for a new contract, and we can manage that before the October 1st new fiscal year. So that'll be and we have the next board meeting in September where we can get that all sorted out. So, so generally, great congratulations for your work, for being a perfect fit for this role. Expressed amazement at your ability to go well beyond your job description to do things like get millions of dollars to build two new buildings and to see those projects through to the minutest detail. So all of that has been really very, very well done. And we couldn't think of there's no superlatives. We've used up all the superlatives. So congratulations on that. Thank you for your great work.
And thank you. And, you know, it's having a great team here at our COG. So it's not just me. And partnerships across campus with people like Rachel and, you know, across all the units. It's been great.
Great. Thank you. And one other little thing just to throw on it is that the I'm feeling a little like the disaster president with the pandemic and the recession and the typhoon and all this sort of stuff. It's very important to help lift people's spirits and to keep people moving forward and thinking in upward ways. So I think a really important part of the kind of morale boosting that has been RCOG and the whole research enterprise has been so uplifting. So that's done service way beyond what you might expect, anyone might expect for the role. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Okay, then, if there are no other items, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. President,
in a second.
Were we going to authorize you to go through with this new contract, or were we going to do that at another meeting?
Well, I think because the next meeting is in September, and that is also ahead of the. Because under the law, we can't adjust anything until October the 1st.
Okay.
So there's time to do that.
But I need to be renewed September 1st.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And we're not okay. NAF or anything. We're separate. So okay. I don't think that is an issue.
So Tony can advise on that.
Unfortunately, the Public Law 37-3, we could basically renew the contract prior to that or prior to the end of the fiscal year by September 1st, as Kathleen states. However, if we are going to adjust pay upward, okay, and give a raise, that raise could only be effective October 1st.
Okay.
Assuming the legislature in the fiscal 2024 budget act doesn't impose a moratorium on raises for unclassified employees for the next fiscal year. Thank you.
So can, let's see, can we ask for then a motion of the board to authorize the chair to renew her contract and negotiate a new salary that would not be effective until October 1st. So she would be renewed on September 1st at her current level, and then any increase would not take effect until October 1st. Is that possible?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
I second.
Thank you, Pete. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Nay. And any abstentions? Okay, then we can manage that. Thank you very much. Does that solve that? I think that solves that. Okay, great. Thank you all very much. Now I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. So moved.
Second.
Second. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Opposed, say nay, any abstentions. Thank you all very much, and congratulations to Kathleen and to the whole
great
team.
Great job, Kathleen.
Thank you all.
For serving. And thank you for your patience on this meeting. Appreciate it.
No problem. Great job.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good weekend.